Welcome to our deep dive. Today we're exploring empathy glasses. It's a prototype, and it's aiming to enhance remote collaboration.
It's ambitious, this prototype, because the challenge is, can we really replicate those subtle things, those nuances you get when you're face-to-face, but in a remote setting?
And these glasses, they're not just adding another video conferencing feature. This research paper we're looking at, it details how they've actually combined several technologies in a novel way, all to create this richer connection.
Yeah.
So how do these empathy glasses even work?
Okay, so imagine, right, you're wearing these glasses, but built into these glasses, you've got pupil eye tracking hardware.
Okay.
So this technology is constantly monitoring your gaze, tracking precisely where you're looking in the environment. And to add to that, there's a head-worn camera capturing your first-person perspective.
So the person on the other end, they're seeing what I'm seeing, like in real time. I mean, we see that with a lot of the remote collaboration tools that we have today. So what makes these empathy glasses different?
The real difference here is the layers of information, those subtle cues that we often miss on, say, a standard video call. They've incorporated something called an effective wear module.
Okay.
And what this does is it captures facial expressions. And we're not just talking about, you know, did you smile or frown, but even those micro expressions, the ones you might not even be aware you're making.
So those nonverbal cues, maybe a raised eyebrow, a subtle smile, things that would be missed on a regular video call.
I see. So that's where the empathy element comes in. But how's all this information relayed to the other person? Isn't it overwhelming, all that data?
That's where the Epson Movario BT200 comes in. It's a see-through head-mounted display. So while you're wearing these glasses, you're not shut off from your physical surroundings. You still see the world around you. But now the information from that remote collaborator is overlaid on top of that.
So let me get this straight. If I'm wearing these glasses, moving around my space, the person on the other side sees what I see, including those small expressions I might make. And I'm receiving visual cues from them, all happening live. That's it. And that's what makes this prototype so interesting. It's that bi-directional communication facilitated through a wearable system.
And they didn't just stop at developing the technology, did they? They went a step further with a user study. So what were people actually doing while they were wearing these glasses?
They had them perform a task that required collaboration, spatial reasoning. The task was to construct 2D pictures, but using wooden blocks, think of it as a more advanced collaborative version of those childhood construction toys.
So you need to be able to communicate clearly about where blocks are going, who's doing what. Definitely a good test for these glasses, I'd say. Now, I'm guessing they didn't just have everyone do the task under the same conditions, right? I mean, they wanted to see the impact these glasses were having.
You're right. They had 4 different conditions, each adding a layer of information sharing. First, they started with a video-only baseline condition. Think of it as your typical video call.
Makes sense. Establish that foundation for comparison. So what came next?
They introduced gaze tracking. So now the remote helper could see where on their screen the local user was looking. And they added a shared pointer. This meant the remote helper could give guidance, you know, use that block, the one I'm pointing at.
Okay, so a shared point of visual focus. I can see how that would be helpful. What other conditions did they test?
The third condition they brought in the display of facial expressions.
Okay.
So now alongside everything else, the remote helper had a separate display showing the local user's facial expressions live.
Adding that emotional dimension, not just what they're looking at, but how they're reacting to the blocks. That feels like a lot for the remote helper to process, though, right?
Yeah.
Managing all those different feeds of information.
Yeah, and they were mindful of that, the potential for cognitive overload, which is why in the final condition, they integrated everything.
It works.
Video, the gaze tracking, that share pointer we talked about, and the facial expressions all channeled through the empathy glasses system.
So the full package. 4 conditions, the block building challenge, and I imagine they were watching these pairs closely, noting everything down. So what did they find? Did any of these additions actually make a difference to how well people collaborated?
Well, here's where it gets a bit interesting. When they analyzed the Likert scale ratings, you know, those strongly agree to strongly disagree scales from the questionnaires.
Right.
They found no statistically significant difference between any of the 4 conditions.
So even with the gaze tracking, the facial expressions, even adding that pointer, people didn't feel like it was significantly improving their collaboration experience.
Not based on those specific scales, at least not in a way that was statistically conclusive. However, and this is important, when asked to rank the conditions overall, best to worst, the all-in condition, the one with all the elements, came out on top.
A bit of a disconnect there. So individually, people weren't blown away by any one feature, but put it all together. And that's what they preferred, even if maybe they couldn't put their finger on exactly why. What do we make of that?
It suggests a synergistic effect. Perhaps no single component is a silver bullet, but combine them and you get something that creates a more holistic, a more nuanced sense of presence.
I can see that. Imagine trying to have a conversation using just someone's eyebrows or only knowing where their eyes were pointing without seeing their face. It's the sum of the parts, isn't it? Now, even if individually the effects weren't huge, did they look at what each component contributed? I mean, they went to all the trouble of developing this technology.
They did. And both the feedback from users and their observations gave some good insights into the roles of the gaze tracking, the shared pointer, and those facial expressions. Let's take gaze tracking first. They found that while it could help with shared understanding, some users, particularly on the receiving end, found it less useful when they could already see the local user's hands manipulating the blocks.
Right. If I can see your hands moving, I've got a pretty good idea of where your focus is, even without seeing your eyes. What about that shared pointer? That seemed potentially quite helpful.
It was, and people generally agreed. For the remote helpers, it gave them a sense of agency. They weren't just passively watching anymore. And for the person wearing the glasses, seeing that pointer appear in their field of view, guiding them, it created this feeling of being subjugated, of having that extra pair of eyes on the task.
Almost like a more intuitive laser pointer, providing guidance without needing to say anything. And the facial expressions. Did people feel like they were getting valuable information from seeing those micro expressions?
So their findings on the facial expressions were really interesting. They noticed that users didn't actually spend all their time glued to the facial expressions. It wasn't their primary source of information. But, and this is key, at those critical moments, you know, where maybe there was confusion or someone wasn't sure, that's when those expressions became crucial. They provided this quick way to gauge understanding, to see if their partner was struggling, if they were frustrated.
A kind of emotional safety net. Not always essential, but invaluable when you needed it. Some fascinating findings there, pointing towards this potential synergy between these different channels of communication. Of course, it's not perfect. This was an early prototype. What limitations did they identify? Things to work on for the next iteration of these empathy-enhancing glasses.
One of the big ones was actually their setup. Remember how we talked about the facial expression display and that head-worn camera video being on separate screens for the remote helper?
Yeah.
Well, that turned out to be pretty clunky. It meant people had to split their attention, constantly switching between screens, not exactly conducive to fluid communication.
I can imagine. It'd be like trying to have a conversation with someone while watching a separate silent film of their reactions. You're bound to miss things. Anything else?
The facial expression recognition technology itself, while promising, had some limitations. You see, it had mainly been trained on static images of expressions. But in a real conversation, our faces are constantly in motion, transitioning through all sorts of micro-expressions. The technology needs to catch up to that fluidity.
Needs that extra level of nuance, that sensitivity to those fleeting expressions. Otherwise, you're running the risk of misinterpreting things or missing crucial information. Any other limitations they noted?
One they acknowledged was that the task itself, while collaborative, might not have elicited a huge range of emotions to really put the technology through its paces. I mean, building with blocks, it's fun, but it's not exactly an emotionally charged activity.
True. A task that involved, say, negotiation, where you're trying to read the other person's tells, or something more artistic, where those subtle emotional cues are so important, that might give you a different perspective on how effective these glasses could be. A promising proof of concept, then, with, of course, areas for refinement. But that's to be expected, especially with something this cutting edge. I mean, that's what research is for, right? Pushing those boundaries, seeing what's possible. But even with those limitations, this research, it does hint at some really interesting possibilities. And not just for how we work remotely, but for communication in general.
When you think about it in a broader context, the implications go way beyond just improving the quality of our video calls. What this study really highlights is the importance of bidirectional visual communication in these wearable collaborative systems.
That bidirectional element being key. It's not just about broadcasting yourself, but creating that shared experience, a feedback loop. I mean, it's how we constantly adjust our communication in person, picking up on expressions, body language. Now, technology is becoming the intermediary.
Exactly. And that finding that by combining these multiple channels, the gaze, those expressions, spatial cues, you create a more nuanced, a more comprehensive sense of presence. And that's really compelling. We're talking about replicating, potentially even enhancing, the richness of in-person interaction, but in a digital space.
It makes you wonder, where else could this technology be applied? We've been focused on remote work, but what about education, healthcare, even just connecting with loved ones who are far away?
The potential is huge. Imagine a surgeon. They're able to convey not just their instructions during a complex procedure, but also their confidence, their focus, to a trainee or a teacher, using these cues to instantly see who's engaged, who's confused, and tailoring their approach accordingly.
It's almost as if we're giving people superpowers, the ability to tap into another person's perspective to communicate on a deeper level.
Yeah.
As we wrap up our deep dive today, it really leaves you with something to think about. In a world where empathy can be technologically mediated, how might our relationships, our understanding of one another, how might that evolve? Thanks for joining us.